The word today is Bethlehem. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Today we continue our tour of the birthplace of Christ with Pastor Schrader. Jesus was born in a humble little town that wasn't considered to be much, but it welcomed the King of Kings. Jesus was born to live on this earth, die for our sins, be raised to life, and he's coming again. Here with more on this little town is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Bethlehem.
I've been talking about Bethlehem, and I'd like to continue that subject here a little bit today by sharing with you some other things that are around that area. Now, the church itself is a majestic church. Oh, my goodness, is it ever, ever beautiful. And there are so many votive lights hanging in the chancel area immediately above the cave area. When you get ready to go down into the area of the caves, you have to line up. Usually there are many tours waiting to go down and see it. One of the things you pass right now, several years back, on one of these pillars, there was a mosaic, actually not a mosaic, a painting. And this painting of Jesus was said to weep. It was in all the American newspapers, and of course, all it was condensation and the different temperatures, making it look as though Jesus was crying. Of course, now the temperatures have been regulated again, and that's not happening right now. But there were all types of speculation, you know, that this was miraculous and so on. Actually, it amounted to very little, but it was a reminder again of the solemnness of this area, that many things happen here. You go down a bunch of marble steps into the area of the cave, and this is where the silver star is that I mentioned last week that says this is a spot where Christ was born. It is traditional that people will line up, and before they exit the cave area, they will individually go and kneel down at this spot, reach their hand through the hole in this silver star, and touch the bedrock below, and say a prayer of thanksgiving or a doxology to praise God that here, somewhere, within 300-400 feet of here, no doubt, is where our Lord and Savior was born. It is such a fantastic thing to visit this spot, to hear all the different groups from all over the world singing Christmas carols as they sing Silent Night or any of the favorite Christmas carols in their own native languages. You know, actually, prior to this, Nazareth was the hometown of Mary, and she received the message from the angel Gabriel that she was going to be the mother of the Christ child, and you recall how Micah predicted it was going to be in Bethlehem. Luke also reports in chapter 2 that the census that was being taken by Caesar Augustus is how they happened to end up in Bethlehem, because Bethlehem was the area here of Joseph. And so they end up in Bethlehem at this time, and Jesus is born there. The Hebrew is interesting, too. Bethlehem is translated in Hebrew, means house of bread. I find that extremely interesting because this name of this little town is where the bread of life was born. Isn't that interesting? I find little things like that very, very interesting and cause for meditation and thanksgiving to God. For instance, 7 miles east of Bethlehem is one of the temples of Herod. Herod was a temple builder. He just had all kinds of buildings built all over the place. And there's a mountain which he took the top off of it. It actually looks like a volcano that has blown its top. It's called the Herodian. And down inside of this mountain is where he built a temple. Now, the reason I bring that up, Herod wanted to be king. He thought he was king of kings, you know. He was the big guy, and he was very famous. totally paranoid. You remember how he killed off all his family because he was afraid he couldn't trust anybody. And so he kept moving around between these temples in order to try and escape people that were trying to kill him. Well, at any rate, 7 miles away from Bethlehem is this large temple. You can still go see the Herodian and go down into that temple area where a guy thought he was the king. Oh, he was king of kings. Now, I think the curiosity that I love to point out is that only 7 miles away here in this cave in Bethlehem, the true king of kings was born. Jesus Christ himself, King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, we're kind of focusing on some of the things around Bethlehem today, and one of the spots is a heavily guarded tomb area now, which is the tomb of Rachel. It's a point of contention between the Arabs and the Jews. It's often fought over, but you remember in the Bible we're told in Genesis 35, verse 19, they were on their way south. They were heading south, and on the way, Rachel died giving birth to her second son. You remember his name was Benjamin. And guess where they were? Just outside of Bethlehem. And so as you come into Bethlehem today, you will see that tomb area dedicated to Rachel. It's very heavily guarded now because it's become a very significant point to the Arabs as well as to the Jews. There's also underneath the church, not only just the cave in which Christ was born, a memorial to that fact which happened somewhere around there, but there are also other rooms in that area, other caves, which are now dedicated to different things. For instance, there's a little altar down there, and there's a little room dedicated to Joseph when he received the revelation from the angel. Matthew 2, verse 13, you remember, is a spot where Joseph received the message not to be afraid of the child or to be concerned that Mary was going to have a child, that this was of God. Also down in these areas, somewhere in these caves, lived Jerome. Now, Jerome had died in the year 420, but Jerome was the translator of the Latin Vulgate. And so he did an awful lot of his work down there. He actually lived down there. So you can visit some of those cave areas, which were his living quarters. There's also a little monument for the babies that were killed by King Herod. You know, King Herod, that treacherous, neurotic individual that gave the command that all the little babies should be killed, thereby trying to remove this little infant that he had been told was the king of kings, the king of Israel. In his neurosis, he tried to stamp all them out. There's a little chapel underneath this church to signify that those little babies are remembered. It's kind of like a monument, so to speak. Now, another thing that I should call your attention to about this church, there are just so many things. I find myself just overwhelmed with all the different things we could talk about here in this church. I like to just sit downstairs in that cave, especially after all the tour groups have left. If you have a little time and you ever get to Bethlehem, just kind of wait until the tour groups clear out. They're usually singing doxologies and singing Christmas songs, but eventually they move on. And I like to just stay there when the church is empty and just sit and meditate and just pray and thank God for the gift of a Savior. This changes everything, folks. We had been promised that the Savior was going to come, and he did. He was born right here, born of the Virgin Mary. And this marvelous miracle, this God-man, this Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, has changed everything. We now have the certainty that he will keep his word, that he has told us that we are forgiven, through his death on the cross. You see, he was born in order to die. That's the reason he came to earth, in order to die in our place. And you had to put all these things together. You had to go from Bethlehem here where he was born. You have to go to Golgotha where he was crucified. You have to go to Golgotha where he rose from the dead. You have to go to the Mount of Olives where, after greeting his disciples and sharing with them the promise that he would return again, he goes to the Mount of Olives and ascends from there back to heaven to be with his Father where he is now. And we await his return. He says he will come again in the same manner. That means physical form. You don't have to worry about it, folks. Don't worry if he's going to come over in Asia or Africa or Europe or someplace like that and all of a sudden we'll hear about it. That's not the way it's going to happen. The Bible makes it very clear. Everyone will know it simultaneously. If you have to run next door and say, do you think it's really him? Then you know it's not. Then it's a false prophet. And there are going to be a lot of those. A lot of Christians are going to be deceived because they're going to be expecting things, and when they see certain mysterious things happen, they're going to start thinking, oh, maybe this is it. Please believe me, when Christ returns, every child of God will know it simultaneously, all over the world. And it will also be the resurrection of the dead. And at that coming, Christ will separate all people who have ever lived between those who are going to be with him in heaven eternally, where he's prepared a place for us, and those that are going to be in hell because they rejected him and did not accept him as their Lord and Savior. And while you're standing here in this church of the Nativity, you can think about the glorious fact that Jesus Christ was born so that he could die. He died in your place and in my place, through his death, earning for us the forgiveness of all of our sins and the certainty that those who believe in him will have life eternal. I hope someday you'll be able to visit the Church of Nativity and see this marvelous sight for yourself.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.